And in our exercise of late, in the light of the book of Jeremiah and all the other prophets that point to the same direction, to what's going to happen to Israel, etc. So, and we've taken a moment to look at those prophets, and one of which is Ezekiel. And you have to remember that when we look at the Old Testament prophets, you need to keep in mind that we have a real advantage because Christ has been crucified and risen, and his grace has been exercised, so that we have a real advantage over them. So when eight prophets were picked and chosen to do what they do, to have to do what they do, God enabled them to have a sense. You and I, they, apostles, etc., knew the Lord as their Savior. Isaiah and all of Ezekiel and Jeremiah and all of them, they needed help. They had the Old Testament with others that are written, but they did not have the advantage. So God had to help them because they had a terrible job, usually, to have to go, and in the process of having to go to a people that were not going to believe, didn't want to believe, and that were headed to Nebuchadnezzar and destruction. It was a tough job. So God helped them to understand. So therefore, as we looked at Ezekiel chapter 1 last time, and chapter 1 now leads, gives you the Jeremiah is going to be prepared by chapter 1 to go all the way to chapter 48 and help us understand heavenly things that are going to, heavenly information that's going to happen earthly. So, and therefore, Ezekiel chapter 1 and in verse 3, if I may, so you catch it. The words of the Lord came expressly, that's it means certainly, with great intensity. The words of the Lord, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Kibar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. The hand of the Lord, that's how God's going to help him understand God's awesome person and what God is going to do and how he's going to do it, and that he needs to, Ezekiel needs to be encouraged and go do the job to a people that don't want to hear it. And so therefore, here's chapter 3, 1 verse 3. Go to chapter 2, excuse me, chapter 3. And in chapter 3, if I may, in verse 22, and the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said unto me, arise, go forth unto the plain, for I will there talk with thee. And you're going to keep, as we keep turning, every little bit, God gives them the next step and helps them understand what he's going to say in the light of chapter 1. And go over to chapter 8. And in chapter 8, picking up, if I may, in verse 4, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. He keeps referring back to chapter 1. I said, what did you see in chapter 1? And we shared it last time. And here are these cherubim. Here is these special chariots that are where we try to describe them. Wheels, within wheels, and eyes within eyes, and we did all that. And I know you aren't going to remember it, but that's what we did. And what we are saying to them, God, you are helping them, helping Ezekiel understand what? As they were sent, they were to understand they represented God, they were servants of God, and to serve the will of God. So, is God omniscient? Yes. He knows everything. And so the vehicle with eyes and everything and ears spinning, turning, never having, always in every direction at once, always in every place when it needs to be, having everything it needs, it's there. There. What are you doing? You're representing God, chariot, the chariot carrying the throne. You're representing God, who knows everything, sees everything, understands everything, has all power. And the whole picture that Ezekiel sees is just overwhelming, overwhelming in power. God is something else. God rules in the kingdom of men. Now, so in chapter 1, as we did that a little bit, and I would remind you, in chapter 1 we went, and in chapter 9 we went, Ezekiel chapter 1, and in verse 19, etc. And when the living creatures went, and the wheels went, remember all the heads with all the eyes, and the wheels went by them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, and the wheels were lifted up, so everything was all connected, moved together in unison. And verse 20, whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Whither was the spirit to not to go? Whither was their spirit to go? And the wheels were lifted up over against them, and the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. So the wonderful life, wonderful exhibit of power in a way to demonstrate it in what? In our English, in our earthly language, because there's no heavenly language to describe this. So God has to talk to us in language. He can't use things that you don't even know what he's doing. So he has to bring it down, and they have to talk to us in ways that we can at least comprehend a little bit. Otherwise, there's no way to get there. So, and here, God, you have said it many times to ourselves, God is everywhere all at once. There's nothing outside of God. Nothing. And I just read somewhere, John gave it to me, on the galaxies and all the John Webb telescope and all of that stuff. It's going on, and they're looking at what, 800 or 8,000. Yeah. One of them. Galaxies. Another galaxies in our galaxy that they didn't know. They didn't know they're in the dark. They couldn't see him. So, it's awesome. Everything is. God's awesome. So if you can't, we can say what we just tried to say, and that's all we can do. But God's wonderful. He better be, because he created everything, and you lose the, how do we describe? God isn't written in 35 different letters. God is written in 3. In fact, he says down, I am that I am, written in 1. He said, I am God. And God means what? Way beyond what we can ask or think. So, here we are looking, and here's the Spirit of God going, and they went, and the wheels, and the wheels are going, carrying. Verse 22, and the likeness of the firmament was upon the heads of the living creatures. The heads of the living creature was of the color of a terrible crystal clear, like gleaming ice. You want to think of it. It's like ice clear, gleaming. In fact, against them was this, sliding down, the color, the terrible crystal. It was awesome, terrible, awesome, stretched forth, even over their heads above. What are they looking at? Well, here's the cherubim, and what are you looking at, Ezekiel? Well, these cherubim in their chariots, in their awesome, the whole thing is awesome, and over their head, like this, they're all there under, they're under a firmament. Firmament means expanse, a table, a platform, an expanse, something that spreads out, that extends out. What are the angels doing in their chariot? They're under this platform. That's what they are. Now, what are they doing under the platform? And verse 23, and under the firmament were their wings straight, the one towards the other. Every one had two, which covered on his side. Every one had two, which covered this on the side their bodies. And when they went, verse 24, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great wings, great waters. Remember, we looked up 256 wings. And the noise of great waters as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise, as an host, a camp, a great encampment, an army, a great army in the move. When they stood, they let down their wings. Now, and I got to get verse 25. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads, and when they stood and had let down their wings. Now, what are they doing? If you can just think, here we are, here's a chariot. Think of me as a chariot. And here's the four chariots over my head. Over my head is this firmament, crystal glass, terrible to see it. It's a, what's it made of? Not cement. And there it is, and we're under it. And here's the cherubim with four wings, and here's their wings. They all touched each other. Each wing touched the next guy. So they held it. They held it. They're holding this platform. Here they are, looking up. And their wings are moving, two wings. And the two wings are moving. And as they're moving, it's an awesome noise, like the noise of Almighty God when he speaks. But when God speaks, verse 25, they put their wings down next to their body and they're quiet. God is speaking. And they put their wings down and they go down and sit and wait. God is speaking. When God was speaking, everyone be quiet and listen. That's what the angels did. Now here's Ezekiel seeing all this. Now, having said that, and in the process, in the process, verse 26, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. So, and here's the throne, here's this stone, a great sapphire stone. And remember, sapphire stone, crystal, you could see clear, sapphire is different colors. Here's this big stone, if you can just think of it, on top of the, what do you see? Keep in mind as we're doing this, what do you know about God? Exodus 20 and verse 4. Thou shalt have no image. of me anywhere. From earth above to heaven, heaven above to earth to under the earth. There's nothing, no one, anywhere. Don't ever make an image of me. Don't ever do it. That's idolatry. Don't do it. So when we're reading, what do we see? Here's Ezekiel looking, and he's getting prepared to deliver and be his God's messenger. So here's the firmament, and in verse 26, it was there, and in the process, a throne was there. Here's the stone, and I'll say it, you can read it, but here's the stone. And if you look at the stone, look at the stone. As you're looking at the stone, in the stone and by the stone, you see a throne. Like a throne. Where is the throne? On the stone, in the stone. A throne. A throne is there. Placed, THR. A throne. So here we are looking at the throne. And what are we doing as we look at the throne? We keep looking at the throne, and what happens? There's a man on it. But, it says likeness. The word likeness is used over and over again in chapter 1. Because none of it, it's all like something. But there's only one way to describe it, and he's using an English example of explaining it to try to help us. So here's this stone, sapphire, and here's this throne in the stone, and here's a man on the throne in the stone. Now, it doesn't say like a man. It doesn't say like a man, because God says there is no likeness, and God would never do that. In fact, the only likeness, hang on, I'll do it a bit. Here we are looking at the stone, and here's Ezekiel looking. And in the process of looking at the stone, he sees the man. And in the process, he's going to see this man like, but not like a man. No, in the language, it doesn't even use that. It uses what? And over the likeness of the throne, a likeness as the appearance, of a man. Not like a man, because it was like God. No, it wasn't like God. It was an appearance away from God. Do it again. Exodus 33. Moses, I'll show you my glory, but you can't see me. No one can see me and live. So therefore, what are you going to do? So he covers Moses so he can't see. And the God passes by in this wonderful little way. He doesn't. And then after he's passed, God takes his hand away and Moses looks. And all he sees is the glory, that God was there. That's all he sees. He just sees that. Yep. Ezekiel, what are you going to do? Ezekiel, here's the stone, here's the throne, and a man, the appearance of a man. A man. Like a man, but not like a man. God isn't a man. Hang on. Isn't an image. You can't make an image. So, In the process, here's this wonderful throne over there, like an appearance of a man. And in the process, God's going to go and do a wonderful thing. And so therefore, in verse 27, and I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, and from the appearance of his loins, even upward, and from the appearance of his loins, even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about So here we are looking at his loins. We go down, full of fire. We go up, full of fire. Our God, Hebrews 12:29, is a consuming fire. What are you going to do? I'm exercising. I'm going to help you, Ezekiel. I'm going to go and exercise my awesome power. I'm going to exercise judgment. And therefore, as I go to exercise this judgment, I'm going to go, and I am a fire. I told you that I come like a whirlwind, spinning. I'm coming, and the chariots are coming. The world sits there and says, God won't do anything. God says, I am going to do something. And that's what Ezekiel, we've been last time and here, we're looking at it. God's going to come and do what he does, and he's a fire. What have we read in Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 13, 14, 15, 16, 17? What do we read? Our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is seen as fire. Fire. He's going to judge. He's going to act as a judge. He's coming to judge the earth. That's what Revelation's about. The big judgment. Fire. Our God's a consuming fire. So, keeping that in mind now, having said that, and you know from John 1:14, when we talk about image and seeing God and understanding God, God, in his wonderful grace, created man in his image and likeness. And God created man special. Why? So that God could see and find himself in a human heart. So therefore, God, where are we going to see your likeness? In my Son. In my Son. John 1:14. And the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. You could see him, touch him. Thomas, chapter 20 of John, shove your hand into my side. See the hole where the spear went. All the blood went, so it didn't heal. Here it is. Here it is. You hit my hands and be believing. Be believing. You see, I'm using God before the foundation of the earth. You had determined the Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord, to become a man so that all us humans could enjoy your wonderful presence in an awesome way. Ezekiel, do you know about that? No. No. Israel, do you know about that? No. 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 That can't be. Ah, but it is. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, go over, if you would, please, over to Daniel and chapter 4. And in Daniel chapter 4, just reminding you and myself that which you know. God is doing what he's doing. He's riding on that throne. He's moving through history. And you want to keep in mind, Nebuchadnezzar levels the city, the temple, everything, all gone, flat, as it were. But God isn't gone. God didn't go away. God didn't disappear. God is still God, even though everything looks like it's all gone. God is still there. So, and what do we need to learn then in these times of the Gentiles and remind ourselves? Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand of the word by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth to it, giving it to whosoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest, the lowliest of men. He doesn't. God's in charge. He's sovereign. Ezekiel, when you see the throne, see the man, it looks like Babylon. Remember, Ezekiel's in Babylon, been there 5 years. Here's Ezekiel in Babylon. There's all kinds of gods, but there's no God. But there is God. There is God. And that's what Ezekiel, learn it, understand it. Therefore, the throne, the chariots, the movement, the power is there. Don't lose it when you can't see it. So, therefore, and thus Nebuchadnezzar learns it, as you remember, chapter 4 and verse 34. Here's Nebuchadnezzar after his trial of being as an animal out in the field, and he gets his act right. And in chapter 4 and verse 34, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And, underline, verse 35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to the will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? God and Ezekiel, do you know who's going to interfere with him? Ezekiel said, there's no one that's going to interfere with what I'm looking at, what I'm seeing, God. There's nothing anywhere that can contend with you. So, sliding over if I can, and keeping that in mind. So here's Ezekiel again in his great movement and doing what he does. And keep in mind when we hit the chariot things, without going over there. Remember in Kings, what do you know about Elijah? Elijah, what do you know about him? He went. And when God was finished with Elijah's ministry, which is a difficult one, when he was finished with his ministry, and Elisha was there and wanted to remember have to be like Elisha was, and what did God do? And Elijah said to Elisha, listen, if you see me taken up, you know God will give you the power. If you don't see me, now what did you know, Elijah? You had it, bless your heart, and a chariot from the God came down and picked him up and took him to heaven. He never died. God just took him up. Say, God can't do it. Well, what happens if God takes us up tonight? Are you going to tell him he can't do it? God can do what he wants. He did it. He did it all the way down. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, in God's awesome thing. Over, if I can, to Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 1. What else do we need to know that we have the advantage over Ezekiel and Isaiah way ahead of them? But for them, they had wonderful experiences. We don't need to have an experience. That's what people want. I need something to tell me I'm saved. What do you need to tell you I'm saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, what he said, and you'll be saved. Why don't you just believe what I said? I don't feel I'm saved. You'll never feel saved if that's what you're looking for. You're looking for something in your elbow to come out and make you feel it twitch something. God says, no, you're just saved because I said so. So, chapter Hebrews, and in chapter 1. And picking up, please, Hebrews 1, Oh, going, if I can, to verse 3. Our Lord Jesus Christ, I'll read verse 2, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, the prophet of all prophets, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Christ was crucified, buried, rose again, ascended and seated at the right hand of God. Ezekiel, what do you see? I see a God in the stone. I see a God on the throne, on the throne, in a stone. God's trying to help me understand. He's the boss. And it's the man Christ Jesus, that's going to be born to be the Savior of the world. And he, after dying on the cross and saving you, us guys, he's going to sit down on a throne. On a throne. Hang on to that. Ezekiel says, wow, he doesn't understand anything I just said. I'm just trying to help, because Ezekiel doesn't understand. So now, go with me over to verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8. What are you going to tell us about him? But under the sun, he saith, God saith, thy throne, whose throne? Your throne, God. O God, O God is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Your throne is forever. That's right. So what is Ezekiel? God's always on the throne. God's always ruling. God's always ruling in his sovereign grace. He's always doing that. So, sliding again, chapter 4. And here's chapter 4. And picking up, if I can, a little bit so you see it, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, put on trial, like as we are, yet without sin. He faced everything you and I could ever face in a zillion ways perfectly. So when you tell God, do you understand what I'm going through? Yes, I do. Absolutely. I not only can know it as God, I know it as a human. I know it as a man becoming flesh and dwelt among you. I know what it is to be human. I didn't sin, but I know what it is to be tempted, pressured. I know what it is to cry. I know what it is to grieve. I know. Don't tell me I don't know. I do. So therefore, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, so what are we doing? Ezekiel, all you can do is see that throne. All you can do is be conscious of it in your whole ministry, that God is busy being God. But what can we do? We go with no cloud, no chariots. What do? We have an instant access audience with God. And we go to what? The throne of grace. How am I going to get to the throne of grace? Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and picking up, if I may, and you'll catch it, in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. We'll enjoy a wonderful, wonderful, safe, saving fellowship. Verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So, Ezekiel, we lost him way back here. What are we doing? Christ, you see Christ as your Savior. He's the Lord of Lords, and he is seated at the right hand of God. In his perfect humanity, is in your heart, in his perfect deity. There he is. So God, what am I going to do? And in me, he's seated right now, perfect humanity. And God, and the one on the throne is in your heart. And now what? Now God, here you are. And I look to you, we look Christ in me, in us, the hope of glory. So I look to you, God, and what am I going to do? When I look to you, I find myself where? I find you in me, and I find me in you. And therefore, you tell me one the wonderful benefit of the good news. Ephesians 2 and 6 and 7. Do you understand? You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus to show the grace of God right now. I'm sitting there, he said, and you're in me. You're sitting there. But in the meantime, I'm here in you until you're there with me. But in the meantime, you represent me. What do you mean you represent me? I'm seated, right hand of God, in my perfect humanity. And in my perfect, wonderful person, I find myself in you, and you are bearing witness that you have the gospel, and you are wonderfully related to me. How so? You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what you are. Wonderful God. That's what the gospel is. Crucified, buried, rising again, ascended, seated at the right hand of God. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you can, back over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1. And in Ezekiel in chapter 1, and what else as you conclude the vision that's going to keep you all the way through your ministry? Chapter 1, sliding down to verse 28. Remember what we read, verse 26, 27, and the appearances of fire, the man on the throne was fire, showed fire up and down his body, full of fire. Verse 28, as the appearance of the bow that is in the clouds, in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice voice, a voice of one that spake. I fell down. I said, and I don't blame you, Ezekiel. I don't blame you at all. Now, what did you see? I saw God. How did you finish it off? But Ezekiel, now here's the throne, here's the chariots, cherubim, here's the platform, here's the stone, here's the picture of the throne up there. Now what are you going to do, God, to finish it off? I'm going to show Ezekiel. What are you going to do for help draw the picture for him? I'm going to put a bow, over the throne. So I should look at the stone. You see this bow of color over the bow. Now what are you saying? Over to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis in chapter 9. And you'll note Genesis 9, picking up, if I can, in verse 14. Remember the rainbow, the Genesis flood, and they all came out of the Genesis flood. And therefore, chapter 9, verse 14. And it come to pass, when I bring a cloud, remember now, this is the coming out of the Genesis flood, Noah and his family, and this multiplying. God makes an agreement with him. He's just Genesis 6. He's flooded the earth, and everyone has perished except Noah and his three sons and their wives. That's all. No children, just them. So therefore, God, what are you going to do? I'm going to make a thing with you so you know it. I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to do this again. No, it didn't do any good. Because after the Genesis flood, here's Noah, and he got his old nature, and here's his three sons and their wives, and they got an old nature. And what's going to happen? Genesis 11, and they're going to build the tower in the city, and they're going to be adulterous up to their eyeballs. So what did I gain? I tried to help them, but didn't do any good. So, verse 14, it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature, and all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. I'll never do this again with water. Never do it again with water. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token, sign of the covenant, which I have established between me and all flesh, that it be upon the earth. And therefore, as you keep reading, I'm going to have the bow. And so we have the rainbow. And the rainbow is there. What did you see in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 28? I saw a bow. And God said, listen, I'm going to do what I'm going to do to Israel. I'm going to let all the nations tumble along to where we are now in our country and world. I'm going to let it all keep going. But I want you to know, don't lose the bow, because I'm going to be gracious to you. But I'm told you I'm never going to flood it. But I never said I wouldn't do anything else. So therefore, Isaiah 24. Isaiah chapter 24. And you'll pick up with me in thought. Isaiah chapter 24, And if I may, and you'll note in verse 1, "Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty. He maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it should be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with the master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, loaning money, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be," in other words, everyone's involved, "the land shall be utterly emptied, utterly spoiled. The Lord has spoken his word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The not haughty people of the earth do languish. Verse 5, "The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof." Yeah, you guys going to do it all over again, and you're going to make me, I'm going to have to judge again. "Therefore, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the covenant ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant." They didn't pay attention to the rainbow. They made the rainbow and that kind of stuff and twisted it into some kooky system out there. That's what they did. "You made fun of what I put up there. You spoiled it. And I'm going to judge you for it. I'm going to judge you. I said I wouldn't flood, but I am going to do it again. My judgment, as you know, coming up." And thus as you read, going down to verse 6, "Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left." I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it all over again, but not with water. I told you. And Ezekiel, yeah, you know what I'm doing. I'm riding that chariot right down the corridor of time. I'm riding right through the nations, etc. I'm busy outworking Iran, Israel, America, China, Russia, the European Union, and the mess they're in. They hate you, you know, you're Americans. The poll I just read, if it's true, the poll, 51% of Europeans think Americans are evil. There's a lot going on, and it all is turned around. It's going to come out good. But you got to understand, all of that's happening. Interesting. So I got to quit. You got the idea. Ezekiel? Yep. But boy, we have it over Ezekiel. Because the chariots that were there in Ezekiel's day that he saw has come down to what? God, what have you lowered it down to? To you guys that have just 2 feet that walk up and down the street, up and down your house. The chariot's missing, but God is using you on your little 2 feet as you bring God to work, to home, to school. You bring him. They don't see him, but you do.